Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. I wish to read to you from 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out of the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go into the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thee thy days 50 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake, and for my servant David's sake. Now there are statements in this record that should motivate us to the noblest of goals. Hezekiah was a good king of Judah, and there was a scarcity of good kings. Of all of the kings of northern Israel, there was not one called good, and of the some 20 kings of Judah, only 6 could properly be called good, some say 8. Well, Hezekiah was one of the good kings. At this time, northern Israel had already been overrun relatively recently by the Assyrians, and Jerusalem and Judah were being threatened also. And in addition to this grave concern, Hezekiah was sick, and it seemed he would die because of his illness. What is that word that is so seldom associated with self and so often associated with others? What is that event that reduces all men to the same rank? What is sure and certain in the future of each of us? It is death. Hebrews 9, verse 27, It is appointed unto man once to die. Now this should not be considered morbid, but simply realistic. And this reality should, and it usually does, sober our thinking. Daniel Webster, being impressed in a sermon that all must die, said, Frigid and weak as these words might seem, at once they were to me the most impressive and awakening I ever heard. When we read of some condemned prisoner who awaits death because of his crime, or see soldiers marching into battle knowing that many shall never return, or visit the terminally ill, or to observe the inevitable toll of age, we're conscious of the solemnity that hovers about us, deeply moved by the certainty of death and the uncertainty of continuation of life. Hezekiah was given a temporary reprieve and a postponement to this inevitable event. He was given additional opportunity to set his house in order. Now, none of us can ever know when a day may be our last. This is all the more reason we should be busy in the task of setting and keeping our houses in order. We know not what a day might bring forth, and we sing the song that says, Get ready for the judgment day. The Bible tells us of those who died the wrong way, that is, with their houses not in order. Jehoram, one of the wicked kings of Judah, and the son of a good king named Jehoshaphat, had every advantage. The prophet Elijah was one of his advisors and teachers, and yet he departed without being desired. One commentator has remarked that he was hated while he lived, neglected when he died, visibly cursed of God, and necessarily loathed by the people he had corrupted and oppressed. His death was a sad ending to a sorry life. He died, and his house was not in order. And another good king's son, named Absalom, died an inglorious death, exhibiting arrogance and pride and deceit with lies and greed, and leaving behind a memory of a wasted life of wrong deeds and dissipated opportunities. He died guilty of betrayal and disloyalty to his father. He is another example of a man who died without his house in order. In the New Testament, in Luke chapter 12, we read of the only man that Jesus ever specifically called a fool. The reading of verses 16 through 21 reveals how tragic it is to face God in judgment, having left this life in such a fashion as did this man. Thinking that he had an abundance of this world's goods, he failed to establish the correct priorities in life, and in death all the material abundance he had at his disposal was of no value to him. He did not set his house in order. Time forbids that we speak of so many others of similar and pitiable destiny, like Cain or Lot's wife, King Saul of Israel, Judas. But they allowed death to overtake them, and their houses were out of order that God expected and instructed for each of them, and instructs us as well. In sharp contrast to these, we read of those whose death was but a final step in the great accomplishment by the grace of God. But they had set their houses in order. Their lives were successes, and death was but a crowning of that success. King Josiah of Judah, another of the few good kings, met death defending the territorial integrity of his nation, executing his duty as the king of God's people. He had been the initiator of many reforms during his reign, and he tried to get the people to return to God before the overthrow of Judah became a reality. In 2 Chronicles chapter 35 and verse 24, it says of his death, "And all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah." When good men die, those who appreciate what is good will mourn because of their absence from our midst. Consider the death of Stephen, as is recorded in Acts chapter 7. His death is the first recorded death of one martyred for the cause of Christ. Stephen had stood before his enemies, the enemies of Christ as well, and boldly preached to them Christ. And in his message he showed them the Christ and reproved them for their unbelief. And Acts chapter 7 tells us of the vicious reaction on the part of his hearers. They, being cut to the heart, gnashed on him with their teeth. They cast him out of the city. They stoned him until he was dead. And his death brought relief from this wicked world and from those wicked people. And while we would not cherish the manner in which this nobleman of God died, how sweet would be the fate of us all if we would leave this life as prepared to meet God as was Stephen. He had his house in order. In Acts the 9th chapter, "Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is by interpretation called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom, when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was near to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he should not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them." I want you to notice the text speaks of those things which Dorcas did while she was with them. Now in death she was no longer with them, and because of this they grieved. But she had been a person that was full of good works, a person of charitable deeds, who used her talents for the relief and for the benefit of others. She had lived her life in such a fashion that her house was in order when the day of her death overtook her. As with those whose death marked the end of the tragedy of their lives, There are many others whose death was surely precious in the sight of the Lord, such as Peter and Paul and David and Abraham and Moses and scores of others. Psalm 116, verse 15 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." This is because their houses were in order when time came to die. The following story conveys the message and the benefit of having your house in order. One day I stood in the sanctifying memory by the side of the sainted dead. Suddenly I was conscious of the presence of a stranger nearby. He seemed to be waiting for me to speak, and I said unto him, "Friend, who art thou? And why dost thou intrude upon my moment of memories and reflections?" He answered, "Do you not know me? I am the king of Terah." And looking at him more closely, I saw nothing about him at that moment that struck terror in my heart. "I see nothing terrible about thee," I responded. Then he said, "No, for the moment I have no terrors at my command. When people live and die, as did this one, my authority has vanished. But where one lives in selfishness, impurity, hatred, strife, and greed, and against Christ and for this present world, where one has lived without God and without hope, there I raise my throne and dress it with such terrors that are at my command. But here, in the presence of the sainted dead, I have no power. I leave thee in peace." John wrote in Revelation 14, verse 13, "Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Friend, is this not the scene of spiritual victory? Will such be the case with me and with you? And when shall that moment come? Eventually the summons to leave this life will come to each one of us. We may have more immediate warning of its coming, and we may not. But glory can be ours if we be so wise as to not only set our houses in order, but having once done that, keep them in order. And we do this by coming to Christ for the forgiveness of sins, obeying his teaching to believe on him, and repent of our sins, confess our faith in him, and being baptized into him for the remission of sins. Then we keep our houses in order as we live faithfully as a Christian should, following his footsteps day by day. So we conclude the lesson with this question: what of your house? We trust that these words do not create an undue anxiety within your heart, but we do hope they will provoke a sincere response to the Lord. If such a lesson can do this within the heart and life of anyone, the story of Hezekiah will forever be a blessing. Should you be so informed of your death being nigh upon you, what would you do? Have you set your house in order? Are you ready to be judged by the Almighty God of heaven? Possibly there are many physical and earthly matters that might command your attention for a while. This is understandable. But what of your spiritual orderliness? This is what is most important, isn't it? May we set our houses in order and be ready for the judgment day. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.